So, what time do ducks get up in the morning? Easy, at the crack of dawn. And what do they have for the breakfast? Quaker oats. How do you get down from a duck? You use a ladder. Right, terrible bird jokes, which can only mean one thing. You're listening to Bird Pod. Hello, and you're listening to Bird Pod, the weekly bird watching podcast, written and presented by me, Neil Baxter. If you want more information about Bird Pod, check out the official Bird Pod website at www.birdpod.web.com. Of course, as always, it's time for the Artificial Bird of the Week, one of the Audubon Singing Bird Toys. More information on how to purchase one of these, go to the website, which is www.birdpod.webs.com. There's a link on how to get one from the RSPB website. And this week, it's the Grey Tit. And one more. Yeah, so this week it's all about the mallard. Well, ducks and specifically the mallard. But first we'll have the birding news, which is of course where I find stories on the internet, bird related, that I find interesting. I'd like to share with you. The first one is from the Mail Online, this 27th of May, and it's entitled, Rook with a Hook Proves Bird Brains Are the Equal of Monkeys. You could say Rook with a Hook, but my accent is Rook with a Hook. So take a look, or have a listen. It wouldn't win any beauty contest, and its raucous caw is hardly easy on the ear, but when it comes to brains, the Great British Rook stands alone. In tests, four of the birds displayed the astonishing ability to devise tools to achieve a task. They were presented with a small bucket of wriggling worms out of reach at the end of a tube, and next to it a piece of straight wire. Remarkably, despite never having seen the setup before, they immediately got to work bending the wire so they could hook out the bucket and tuck in. Researchers at Cambridge University believe that this proves the birds have a sophisticated intelligence to rival that of chimpanzees, one of man's closest animal cousins, which can craft tools with their hands. Although New Caledonian crows from the South Pacific use sticks to extract grubs from the ground, this is the first time rooks have ever been seen making and using tools, according to a paper published yesterday. Unlike most animals, which learn tricks through trial and error, they solved the problem immediately, and, since they were raised in captivity, had no other birds to show them how to do it. The aptly named Christopher Bird, a PhD student and lead author of the study, said it had long been known that rooks are intelligent, but it had not been proven, as they have no need to make tools in their world, unlike their New Caledonian cousins. They tend to use their intelligence on other tasks, such as complex nest building, because they are not faced with a shortage of food. Mr. Bird and colleagues from Queen Mary, University of London, conducted the study with five-year-old rooks, Cook, Connolly, Fry and Munro, which were hand-reared from fledglings. Three of the four rooks made the wire hook on their first attempt. The fourth, Munro, did on her fourth attempt. In another experiment, the rooks had to choose the right size stones to drop down tubes or of different diameter, tipping a platform to release a morsel of food. They all chose the right size and shape of stone without training. The results have published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Interesting story. The one about them using these sticks to poke at grubs. Yeah, I've seen on, what's it called, The Life of Birds, the David Attenborough thingy. That's pretty good. This story from Northumberland News, The Independent. I take it this is Northumberland in America, not in Britain. But an interesting story. This is the 29th of May. Thousands of birds forced Brighton's Presqu'ile Park beach to close. Brighton, shorebird populations are declining, but it's a statistic Brighton residents might find hard to believe. Thousands of birds turned Presqu'ile Park's beaches into a Hitchcock movie scene rather than a place for fun and sun during the last days of May. Thin, three-pronged footprints etched Presqu'ile's entire sandy beach, where park staff say 3,000 birds stopped for a visit on Friday, May 22nd. By Sunday, the number had increased to 8,000. They were everywhere on the beach, park naturalist David Bree said. It was pretty cool. The avian flocks triggered Presqu'ile's grounding protocol for the first time since its creation. The protocol is part of the beach and dune implementation resource management plan, adopted by the park in March. Grounding protocol is enacted when flocks of 500 or more birds land on the park's beaches. Under the protocol, the beaches are closed to protect declining species during a vulnerable period of their life cycle. You couldn't go onto the beach without causing them to fly up and down, which takes energy and disturbs them, Mr. Bree said. It's a chance to let them feed undisturbed. Instead of burning energy, they are storing energy. Although several shorebird species were spotted in Presqu'ile, the majority were the dunlin species. The birds stop in Presqu'ile to feed while flying from South America to the high Arctic. Disturbing dunlin during feeding impedes their journey and could possibly result in their death. They are eating rather frantically, Mr. Bree said. They just feed and feed and feed to put on fat. They do a lot of feeding, according to that, I take it. Dunlin normally travel in large flocks. Mr. Bree said the numbers on Presqu'ile's beach were unusually large. This is an exceptional circumstance. It probably happens a couple of times in the spring, Mr. Bree said. What we probably had is several flocks coming together. Presqu'ile Park is designated an important bird area for several species, including the dunlin. The area is important to a significant number of birds, Mr. Bree said. They are more likely to be here than anywhere else. So there we are. I wish I'd have been there with my camera, but I ain't got a passport at the minute. Not to worry. Okay, so let's just have a think what's been going on recently. Yesterday in our garden, something which I found quite interesting, on the bird table, I just happened to go outside and notice there was a wood pigeon and a feral pigeon. And it was like something a bit Jackie Chan, really, because they were both doing some kind of a face-off on the bird table, staring at each other. And then all of a sudden the feral pigeon just gave the wood pigeon a crack with his wing, or her wing. And this was retaliated, and this just went on, crack, crack, crack. Just really whacking hell out of one another with the wings. Who gave up first? It was the feral pigeon who ended up shifting. I said, it's just weird seeing them just, you know, cracking at one another. What else? Yeah, as I said, this is going to be about the mallard. I actually had a little trip out yesterday over some news I got about a mallard in distress, which, after I'd seen the bird, I recorded it and, here it is. Just have a listen. At Hindley Green, which is near Wigan, Lancashire, and sad to see something here. One of the forums I go on, someone left a message for me asking if there's anything I could do to help about a female mallard. Some cruel, I'll not say the word, has put a plaster round this poor animal's beak. I've just been having a look and I can see it now swimming away. So obviously this thing's been maltreated. It's clearly frightened. I've just seen it on the bank. And it's now in the water. So this is an area called the clay pit, which is a body of water. There's a lot of Canada geese. I can see a grebe, black-headed gull, and as I said, mallard. And this poor unfortunate thing, it's a female adult mallard. As I said, I got this message, so I thought, well, I'll come out and see what I can do. I can't catch it. I've not got the equipment, but I wanted to come out and identify it. and shortly I'm going to make a couple of telephone calls. I believe the RSPCA have been informed. I've been told that they've come out a couple of times. Okay, we're going in a minute. That's my dog. So what numbers have I got? I've got the number of the police wildlife liaison officer. Also got the RSPCA number, which I'm going to give them a ring when I get back, but I'm going to ring this liaison officer if I can on my mobile in a minute. If ever you do see an animal distressed and you do need to phone the RSPCA, from experience I've found that the best thing to do is get as much details as possible of what the bird is, or any animal. Yes, I know. Come on, be quiet. Get as much details, the nearest entrance and exit, if you can get that. So I've got the names of the roads nearby and the postcode and all the details. I can basically let someone know how to get here in case they're coming from out of area. That I've done as well for a duck that got one of these plastic beer ring pull things on the canal. So I got the RSPCA and whereabouts are you, you know, given the nearest point to get in, kind of people get there, etc. So yeah, that's, I've been told by a few people here, I've been asking about this as I've been walking around, shush, and I've been told that someone is actually feeding this bird seeds. It is eating and managing to open its beak a little bit. It doesn't look like it's deteriorating in any way. Apparently this has been mixed view. Someone said it's 2 weeks, but I've been told by a couple of people that 4 weeks this bird's been in this condition, which is not very nice, to say the least. No, it certainly doesn't look emaciated, but what can you say? What kind of person does something like that? Okay, anyway, I'll leave it at that for now, because I'm just going to get more frustrated and more angry and upset. So I'll pause this for a bit and I'm going to try and phone a couple of these numbers, see what I can do, if anything. Yeah, so not the greatest of things, I have to say. I have been in touch with the RSPCA, I've been in touch with a few people. It just seems that, you know, it's a case of trying to get this bird when it's there. I've got people who have requested that they inform me of any developments with this. If I do hear anything, I'll include it in the next after issue of Bird Pod. I'll keep you all informed on what's happening. As I said, luckily though, the bird doesn't look that it is malnourished, still not right, and I just hope that this is not an act of cruelty. So, yeah. So I'll keep you updated on that one. Anyway, speaking about the mallard, this podcast called Hello Ducky, which is a tribute to the, you know, camp expression from 70s television and whatnot. If you don't know what I'm talking about, but have a look at what ducky means, or call someone ducky and you'll probably find out. I think it's a stereotypical homosexual greeting, you know, from a camp character. Kind of thing that possibly Mr. Humphreys would say, "Are you being served?" So, anyway, duckies, I'll carry on here. Ducks, which I just love going to the park feeding them. This is probably a lot of people's first experience of bird watching, or at least, you know, being in the company of birds. You say, "Oh, I've no interest in birds," but people can recognise a mallard straight away. In fact, mallard is synonymous with the word duck. A lot of people, you just said duck, think of mallard. So, what do they sound like? Yep, in case you've never heard one. If you've not, you've obviously never been out of the house. But here's what one sounds like. There we go. That's why the word quack was invented. You know, you can't get more obvious than that one. So anyway, yeah, as always, here's a little bit of information on the mallard, taken from the RSPB website. The mallard, Latin name Anas platyrrhynchos. The mallard is a large and heavy-looking duck. It has a long body and a long and broad bill. The male has a dark green head, a yellow bill, is mainly purpley brown on the breast and grey on the body. The female is mainly brown with an orange bill. It breeds in all parts of the UK in summer and winter, where there are suitable wetland habitats, although it is scarcer in upland areas. Mallards in the UK may be resident breeders or migrants. Many of the birds that breed in Iceland and North Europe spend the winter here. We're to see them. It is the commonest duck and most widespread, so you have every chance of seeing it just about anywhere, where there is suitable wetland habitat, even in urban areas. Yep, the parks, isn't it? That's the place where we often see ducks. What they eat? Seeds, acorns and berries, plants, insects and shellfish. No mention of bread, because, I mean, it's traditionally, it's practically the law that everybody at some point's given bread to ducks. Estimated numbers, Europe, UK breeding, 50,400 to 127,100 purse. So there's quite a few of them. Of course, it's always great to see ducks with the young with them. You know, this is when you see the traditional chick, the little fluffy yellow critter bobbling up and about on the water. Yeah, they're great animals to see. I have two dogs. One's Gina, Kern Terrier, the other Rosie, a Border Collie. Now, whether this is Border Collie instinct or not, I don't know, but I've known a few other people who've had Border Collies who've done this. When we go feeding the ducks, Rosie runs up and down the canal bank or the pond or wherever, as if she's trying to round them up. She's no intention of hurting them. She loves it when we're feeding them. And it's just great to see. And they don't mind her. In fact, when we go anywhere, she goes to the canal first or to the pond. They see her and they come over. Now, I'm sure that they don't think, oh, hello, this dog's going to come and attack us, because they're not distressed. They come over, I think they recognise her. And they know that bread's on the way. Yeah, I'm just trying to think back. A few years ago, there was a duck on the canal, not too far away from where I live. And on first sight, this poor creature looked malformed. Its beak was totally twisted. I think this was from birth when you looked at it. It had no problems whatsoever eating it. It could eat perfectly. In fact, it could push in with all the other ducks. And it, you know, it wasn't shy there. But yeah, great to see. So this has been quite a short bird pod, really. As I said about the female mallard, I'm going to have a look for this again. It's just a shame that I can't do anything to catch it. I've not got any equipment, which is a real pity. And I don't even know if I could. But at least there are a lot of people aware of this now. So that's good. So fingers crossed something positive will happen. So just one more thing. If you do see an animal in distress, contact the RSPCA. This is the cruelty line. This was the one I rang, which is to report a mistreated, neglected, injured or distressed animal, and it's a 24-hour service. The telephone number for this is 0300 1234 999. That's 0300 1234 999. Or if you want advice from 9 to 5, the number for the advice line is 0300 1234 555. So that should be your first port of call if you see an animal in distress or needs treatment or anything. I know some people think birds, RSPB. If you contact the RSPB, they'll refer you to the RSPCA, because these are the people you do need to contact. They're the charity that specifically deals with distressed animals and issues in that respect. So, if I do hear any more news, as I said, I will comment on the next bird pod. So I shall Give you one more go at the artificial bird of the week, which again is the great tit. Information on how to get these from www.birdpod.webs.com. There's also some photos on there, bird photos, loads of information. Check it out and have a look. If you want to email me at all, my email address is birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. So here is the great tit. And I'll see you next week. And to play us out, let's listen to Mallard again. Thanks for listening and see you next week.